You're listening to Sipping on Some Crime podcast, hosted by Aaron. This podcast covers sensitive and triggering subjects, explicit language, and mature content which may not be suitable for children. As always, all parties are innocent until proven guilty.
Today, I will be covering the case of Noyet Thu Phung, known to friends and family as Wiki. Wiki 19 would vanish in May 1991 when she left her home to attend her college class before work. When Wiki didn't arrive at work, that's when her family knew something was wrong. As Wiki's family desperately searched for Wiki, they began to uncover a secret life Wiki had been hiding from them. 32 years later, and her family is left with more questions than answers. Noyet, affectionately called Wiki by her loved ones, was born September 18, 1971 in Vietnam. She was one of five siblings. Around the age of four, Wiki's family would move to the U.S. in 1975 and would settle in Snohomish, Washington. There's a lot of information out there about Wiki's personal life, and her sister, Loanne, says, the way of their culture, they are very private. But she says someone in their family has to be her voice and keep Wiki's face in the public memory. I'm going to do my best to reserve their family privacy while digging into what they have released to the public. This is why I won't be covering any of her family's names or relationships with Wiki other than her sister, Loanne, and what Loanne has released to the media. Wiki and her family were living in Linwood, Washington at the time of Wiki's disappearance. Linwood is in Snohomish County and is located about 16 miles north from Seattle and 13 miles south of Everett and is quick and easy access to the Interstate 5 and 405. Linwood itself is a decent-sized town. In 1990, the population was just under 27,000 and now is close to 41,000 people. In 1991, Wiki 19 was taking classes at Shoreline Community College. And May 9, 1991 was a typical day for Wiki, who was planning to study at the Shoreline campus before heading to Seattle for her clerical job in the federal building. Typically, Wiki would take the bus to campus, then another bus to her job from campus. Wiki would take the downtown Seattle bus back home after her shifts, and if she was ever running late or something unexpectedly came up that might keep her from getting home on time, Wiki was sure to find a phone to call home and update her family. That phone call didn't come, and Wiki didn't come home. That's when her family would reach out to report Wiki missing. Commander Patrick Fagan would say he vaguely recalled that day 32 years ago, but does recall that he met Wiki's family at their apartment to take the report of her missing and collect basic information about Wiki and her movements that day. It would be discovered by Wiki's family that Wiki did not take the bus that day, but instead had her married boyfriend of 2 years drop her off on campus. Wiki's family had no clue that she was dating, let alone involved with a man that was not only married, but was 27 when then 17-year-old Wiki and him began dating. Loanne tells reporters that she knew Wiki wanted her boyfriend to leave his wife. They had been together for 2 years, and it didn't seem like he was making any effort to leave his marriage. Investigators would look into the boyfriend, who they state had an alibi because he said he was at work during the time of the disappearance. However, in an interview with King 5 News, Patrol Commander Patrick Fagan, who took the initial missing report in 91, admitted that they didn't verify that alibi at the time, saying, quote, "He had an alibi that he was at work. It's not proven or disproven whether he was or wasn't there," unquote. Investigators did interview the boyfriend, which they do not name, and ask him to give a statement, and things get even weirder from there. Commander Fagan said, quote, "It was a convoluted story of victimization, and that was a storyline that we received from the boyfriend. Our detectives made a number of efforts to corroborate any of those storylines and those people, and they found nothing. So I think those storylines were disproven," unquote. The statements made by her boyfriend do seem very strange. I'll read you some from this report, and I will post a picture of the page made available on socials and, of course, the Sipping on Some Crime website for those that want to read it all. There's so much mumble and jumble that reading it all seems like a stream of nonsense. A lot of names have been redacted, and some of the locations have been redacted as well. From the boyfriend's statement, he stated how him and Wiki met. Quote, "Wiki and I started seeing each other while working together at Sears in September of 89. I was and am married. Since we didn't want anybody to know about it, we told people at work that she was seeing a friend of mine named Wes, so it gave us an excuse to talk and be seen together at work frequently. At the time she started seeing me, she had been close friends with some guy she called Redacted, who lived in the same apartment building she did and worked at the Redacted in Alderwood Mall. I never saw or met them. He apparently wanted to be more than just close friends with her, though, and when she told him she was seeing somebody else, she said he got very jealous and sometimes violent. She said that he had punched her on more than one occasion, but she didn't want me to get involved with him. So at the time, she wouldn't give me his last name or do anything to try to keep him away from her. Eventually, she had told me he had moved away but came back to visit and punched her and kicked her in the stomach hard enough to knock her down and hurt her pretty bad. At the time, I made her tell me his last name so I could try to get a forwarding address for him and scare him off. She told me his name was Redacted, but the post office had no forwarding address for him, and she said he had left his job at the Redacted. I bring this up because it was the first time she told me somebody was threatening her, and I never doubted her. At least two people that work with us at Sears knew this guy had hit her because she told them. One was Redacted, who still works at Sears in Sporting Goods. She went to school with Wiki, and the other was named Redacted, but I don't remember her last name. Sometime around December 89 or January 90, she told me she was starting to see somebody named Redacted. He was supposed to be a good friend of her brother, Redacted, belonging to the same fraternity. She said she went out with him for 2 to 3 weeks, but told him she didn't want to get serious because she was still seeing me. She told me that they remained friends, though, and she liked to talk to him frequently. I never saw this guy, but I never doubted his existence until now. Since Redacted said he never heard of him, we would be walking in the mall together, and she'd tell me that he was walking around with Redacted somewhere if I wanted to get a look at him, but we never bumped into them. She told me that he would give her rides to and from work at times when no one else was available. I still can't believe she just made all this up. Sometime in this same time frame, Deck Jen, she told me she was going on a blind date with a cousin of a friend. The guy, Redacted, was attending WSU, but was in town for the weekend or something. This friend, Redacted, was supposed to be her best friend at the time, and she spent a lot of time with her. She told me the story. She made it clear to this guy that she was involved with somebody else and she was only going out with him as a favor to Redacted. She said he took her to some party at UW, but there was a lot of drinking and she really didn't want to be there, so she told him to take her home. Instead, she said he took her somewhere to park, and when she said she didn't want to be there, he started grabbing at her, tearing her shirt and her bra. She said she jumped out of the parked car and ran away until she could find a phone. She said she then called Lee at the fraternity and he gave her a ride home. She said she made him promise not to tell Fat because she didn't want him to think she had led him on. I wanted her to press charges against this guy, but she refused, saying she wanted to forget about it. She wouldn't tell me how to get a hold of him or redact it, and she said it didn't matter anyway since he was going to go back to WSU right away. Again, sometime in January 1990, she told me an old boyfriend from Spokane was moving over here to go to school at UW. He went to high school with her brother, Redacted, and his name was Redacted. She said that they were very good friends and had run cross country together. She also said she had gone to his senior prom with him. He was supposed to have gotten some girl in Spokane pregnant and he was going to marry her. When he first came over here, Wiki said that he just spent a lot of time with her, just talking about how he didn't really want to marry this girl, but felt like he had to. She said he would pick her up at school and take her to lunch and also come over to her apartment where he saw Fat and the rest of the family. At the same time, she was also spending a lot of time with other guys she went to school with. One was named Redacted and the other was named Redacted. She never told me Redacted's last name, but she said Redacted was Redacted, and she called Redacted's father Redacted. Just a quick little intermission here. I told you it's nonsense and jumble, but I'm going to keep going because it's kind of important to paint how nonsense and jumbled this statement is. She went out with Redacted a few times, but also told him she didn't want to get serious, so they were just friends. Because Redacted was spending a lot of time with her when Shane came over here, she said the two of them were a little jealous of each other. She said Redacted pressed her to go out with him again, even to marry him so that he wouldn't have to marry the girl in Spokane. She said he started getting really jealous of Redacted, yelling at him and telling him to stay away from his girlfriend. She started getting angry with Redacted for acting like such a jerk and told her family she didn't want to go out with him. Finally, she said she was just going to take her lunch one day and instead took her somewhere to park. He tried to force himself on her and she resisted. She said he got really angry and threatened her with a beer bottle, but finally let her out of his truck. She said that she called Lee again for a ride home. He told her she should press charges against this jerk or at least tell Fat about it. Unquote. That was all of the statement released to the press. We do know there is even more pages, but they're not available online. It's reported by King 5 in the statement that the boyfriend even goes on to detail that Wiki told him that she had been raped by several men and even provided the investigators with a list of names. However, investigators could not find any evidence to support this and many of the other statements. Investigators would also give him a polygraph test after this statement and he would fail the polygraph test. Wiki's family would step back from the public as details and rumors about Wiki's secret life started to come out. Wiki's family stopped talking about her case altogether. Luann said, quote, "In the Asian culture, we really don't have therapy. We don't talk open. We try to hide everything because what people think of us is very important," unquote. Reporter PJ Randawa asked Commander Fagan, "Is there currently any plans to re-interview the boyfriend?" And he said, quote, "Not currently, no. The case is not being actively investigated. It's not closed. It's still an open case for us," unquote. Luann said she doesn't want her sister forgotten. Luann said, quote, "She still have a family that loves her very much, that wants her home. I don't give up hope, and I'll keep going even after my mother's gone, and after I'm gone, my daughter will keep going," unquote. Luann said just talking about Wiki again makes her feel like Wiki is alive again. It's reported that Wiki's father passed without ever knowing what happened to Wiki. Earlier in 2023, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children released an age progression of what Wiki may look like today. I will, of course, post the link in the show notes and share on socials. Luann says her family is still trying to untangle the secrets in Wiki's life. They are still desperate for answers. Luann said, quote, "When somebody's taking your sister away from you, you don't heal. I mean, it's like living in hell. We are still thinking about her and that we're hoping someone out there knows what happened," unquote. There is no description of what Wiki was wearing the day she disappeared. At the time of her disappearance, Wiki was 5'2", around 115 pounds. She had brown eyes and black hair. Her ears are pierced, and she has a small mole above her lip on the left side. If you have any information or tips in Wiki's disappearance, please reach out to the Linwood Police Department at 425-670-5600. Thank you for taking the time to learn about Wiki's case, and I encourage you to share her story on any platform you are comfortable with. Wiki's case seems frozen in place, and we need public pressure to change that. Wiki won't be forgotten by her family anytime soon, and I hope today we were able to shine a spotlight on her and be her voice. If you are listening on Apple or Spotify and you are able to take a moment to leave a review and hit that subscribe button, it does help cases like these reach more ears. And as always, don't forget, when you see those missing and murdered posts on social media, to hit like, share, and retweet. Every time we share a face, we get closer to solving a case. Until next time.